Sermon title today is Stand Up, and if you'll turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. Well, I believe this sermon is going to set your hair on fire today. What do you think about that? Hallelujah, by the presence of the Holy Spirit. So Revelation chapter 7, we're going to read verses 9 through 17. Verse 9, it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these that are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who sits, who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Hallelujah. The people that we are talking here, it says at the title above page, verse 9 in my Bible, it says, the multitude from the great tribulation. That during the 7 years of tribulation, there will be many people that will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They are brand new believers in Jesus during that time. And we know that they are brand new believers because the church, all believers in Christ, were caught away before the start of the tribulation. So these are brand new people in Jesus that have come to the newness of faith and knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In verse 14, it says this again. Verse 14. And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Jew and Gentile will be saved during this period of time. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, it says this, After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. So Jew and Gentile alike will be saved during the tribulation period. And how do they come to know Jesus? How do they come to know Jesus through this time? They come to know Jesus through the Word of God, of course. Bibles will be read. People will look upon the prophecies that they will see and that have been studied and proclaimed about the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will see that happening before their very eyes, and they will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Witnesses will rise up, evangelists and missionaries. Two specific groups of people are mentioned in the Bible. So turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. So we go back to Revelation 7. In Revelation 7, we pick up the reading at verse 1. In chapter 7, verse 1, it says, After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice, to the four angels to whom it was granted to to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. All of the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. 144,000. Jewish believers will rise up, 12,000 out of each tribe of Israel, sealed with the task of spreading the word of God. 12,000 from each tribe, 12 tribes in all, and the nation of Israel will return to the Lord. And that's the purpose. It's for the nation of Israel that has gone astray, that has gone in idolatry, to return to the Lord, because God promised them that they would, and they will. But it's not only Jewish people that are saved, and it's not all of the Jewish people that are saved, but we see as a nation as a whole, they will return to the Lord during the tribulation period. This does not mean that every Jew will believe and return to Christ, but the nation as a whole will return to Him. Now turn with me, we're going to come back to Revelations very quickly, but turn with me to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, if you look at verse 25, so Romans chapter 11, verse 25, it says, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come. And so all Israel will be saved as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. When the Apostle Paul was alive and walking this earth, he kept going to the Jewish people. He kept telling them that Jesus was the Messiah. You remember that scripture in 1 Corinthians? He died according to the scriptures. He lived according to the scriptures. He died and he rose again according to the scriptures. He was trying to get it in their head that Jesus was the Messiah, and you're missing the boat, because there's not going to be another Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. So what did Paul say when they rejected him? He said, I shake the dust off of my feet, because you will not receive. I will take the world to the Gentile. The Gentile believer is the one that is spreading the gospel throughout the world today through the dispensation of grace. Until this period closes, it's going to close. It's going to close on the day that the tribulation period starts. And we see that in the scripture today. Verse 25, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come, and so all Israel will be saved as it is written. So during the tribulation period, many will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They will have the witness of the Word. They will have the witness of those who come to Jesus during that time. They will have the witness of 144,000 sealed Jewish believers to share the Word all over the world. But there's also two specific witnesses that I want us to talk about today. So that's where the sermon is headed today. If you turn back with me to the book of Revelations, and go to Revelation chapter 11. Hallelujah. Boy, you better get ready, saint. I'll tell you what, if this don't start your heart up, nothing will. In Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3. In verse 3, 11 and verse 3, it says this, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Two specific witnesses will rise up for 1,260 days. The 1,260 days is 3.5 years that they will witness. So let's pick it back up at verse 4. These are the two olive branches and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire will proceed from their mouth and devour their enemies, and if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Verse 7, when they had finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, the tribes, the tongues, and nations will see the dead bodies three and a half days and not allow their dead bodies to be put in the grave. Verse 10, and those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Verse 4 through 10 shows the power and the authority that these two special witnesses will have during their time of ministry on this earth. There has been a lot of speculation over the years, for centuries, as to who these two witnesses are. Some have said that it is Moses and Elijah. Others have said, according to Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed to man for once to die. There was two people that did not die as we might die if the Lord does not come. To die once, and that was Enoch and Elijah. These two did not experience death being caught away. Interesting, but it really doesn't matter. We know that there will be two witnesses, and for 3.5 years, they will witness with power and authority. And after, hallelujah, after 3.5 years, they are allowed, and I stressed allowed, to be killed. So if we read verse 7 again, it says, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, the tribes, the tongues, and the nations will see their dead bodies. You can see it on CNN already, can't you? You can already see it on MSNBC. They're showing these dead bodies that are laying out there, and people are celebrating their death because they are the ones that are bringing adversity to the world. We see people that all of a sudden we have an Olympic venue and we're going to portray the Last Supper in drag. My God, what has happened to this world that we have fallen so far away from God that we can't even look up and do the appropriate thing? How sad that is. But you see that in this picture of people celebrating and rejoicing because these witnesses are laying dead for 3.5 days in the street. Now, I don't know about you, but it's kind of warm over there. And I'll tell you what, if you took a dead body out here, laid it out here in the driveway for 3.5 days, it would not be very pleasant after 3.5 days. But they're going to get a shock of their lifetime. They are going to get a shock of their lifetime because these people are going to stand back up. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. We read on in verse 11. Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice. Listen to this, saints. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell. In the earthquake 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. After 3.5 days, can you imagine what it would be like? But God spoke the words, come up here. And you know what they did? They stood up. Now turn with me to Revelations 4:1. Revelations 4:1, because we're going to hear those words again. In Revelations 4:1, Revelation 4:1, after these things I looked, and behold, a door was standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. I remember sitting at Joe Whitlatch's house. And we were sitting in the living room, and I was sitting in Joe Whitlatch's house talking to him and John after his father, Richard, had passed away. And I asked him, is there any special scripture that you know that was Richard's or that you would like to have shared during the funeral address? Joe said, well, I was reading the Bible this morning. Can you imagine Joe reading the Bible? Joe said, I was reading the Bible this morning, and he just smiled, and he said, this verse came to me. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trump speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place. So I shared this scripture in the message. I said that day that Richard Whitlatch had passed away, because of his faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord said, come up here. And spiritually, Richard stood back up. Hallelujah. So, saints, I'm telling you today, anybody that has passed on, anybody that you know in your family that knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, when their time came that they were no longer going to be on this earth, the Lord looked down and said, come up here. Come up here. This is where the place where there's no more tears, no more sorrow, and no more heartache. And you, as saints of God, can rejoice in the Lord today to know that that loved one is with spiritually stood up and went up to be with the Lord. That is exactly what the scripture tells us. In Revelations 11:12, it says, come up here. And the two witnesses stood up. When Lazarus was in the tomb, by the word of Jesus in John chapter 11, Lazarus stood back up. We know that our loved ones are with the Lord and they are standing up today. Turn with me to John chapter 11. We're going to go to that John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, go down to verse 11. So John chapter 11, verse 11. Verse 11, it says, these things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus, listen to the words, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Jesus referred to somebody that had passed away on this earth as being asleep. He didn't refer to them as being dead. He referred them as in a temporary state of being asleep because they're going to come alive forevermore and be forever with the Lord. Look at verse 14 because he clarifies. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Verse 23 said, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall what? They shall never die. Do you believe this today? And we say, amen, yes, we do believe this today. Now turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're about ready to tie this up. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want you to go over to verse 13, a scripture that you're all very, very familiar with. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have passed away, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, you and I, if the Lord would come back today, will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. There are so many in this world, and I believe it's continuing to grow, that there are so many people in this world that doubt the catching away of the bride of Christ, or the rapture of the church, as we call it. Why? We have given several instances today where God said, come up here, and spiritually they stood up. Someday God will speak the words to the church, come up here. And we will be gone in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Amen. You have heard me say for several weeks, God has for each one of us a God plan and a God purpose. Today we have spoke of those that God spoke and they stood up. Today you were appointed for such a time as this, as pointed out in Esther, as this. It's our time, saints, to stand up. For the word of the testimony, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. How are you standing for the Lord today? They stood up. So now we also need to stand up. We need to stand up for the glory of God. We need to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, we have got to get away from saying, I don't have time. I don't have time to teach a class. I don't have time to help with children's church. I don't have time to help with the yard. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time, because that's going to be a poor excuse when you stand before the Lord. Let me tell you, Pastor Leo has helped raise 8 kids, and I worked 35 years at 3M and many, many years before that, and all the time I pastored, I never once said, Lord, I don't have time. We need to get away from that. We don't have time not to be doing something for the glory of God in all of our lives, whether it's witnessing or sharing. Who is somebody that you can reach out this week? This, we live in a lost and dying world where the adversary is the god of this world. He's blinded the eyes of the unbeliever so that they would not know the truth. Brother and sister, we need their scales to fall from their eyes. I can't save them all. There's people I can't even reach that you will reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's, while we're here on this earth, let's touch somebody for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love that. He said, come up here. And they stood up. Glory to God. That is so powerful. I was sitting, I got up at 3:30 this morning. I didn't have a sermon done. I knew what God wanted me to speak on all week. It wasn't like last week where he switched it up on me during song service. But I knew all week what he wanted me to speak on. And I didn't have time yesterday, and I needed to go to Palace. So I got up at 3:30 this morning. I'm sitting out there at my desk, and I mean to tell you, the tears are dripping out of my eyes when I was writing that down. He told them, come up here, and they stood up. Saints, someday the Lord is going to say to the church, come up here. And we're all going to be gone in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Don't you ever have anybody say, well, I don't believe there's such thing as a rapture. When we're talking about the tribulation period in Revelation chapter 11, and it's talk about the saints there, how did they get up there? They got up there because the bride of Christ was caught away from this earth. I'm looking for that day. I wish it had come before dessert. Okay, maybe right after dessert. Well, I'm ready to leave this place. Are you ready to leave this place? Hallelujah. Let's leave it to all the other unbelieving people. Father, we rejoice in this day. And we thank you for the word of your testimony to our hearts and to our lives. There is nothing more powerful than the word of God. And we rejoice forevermore. I pray that you would bless our time of fellowship today. You would bless the food to our bodies and the hands that prepared it. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 You are dismissed.